The Manitoba Association of Christian Homeschools would like to thank the Learning House for sponsoring this recording.
Fleeing for their lives because they weren't sure what was going to be taking place. Late in the evening of the 5th of June, observers at Cold Bay noted that the sky looked like it was black and stormy. Here's kind of the location of where this volcano took place. And do we have audio now? Here we go. So on that day, June 6th, this is what happened. No. Oh, you can't hear the words. Okay. Anyway, really massive volcano. Okay. Huge, huge, huge. People thought that they were going to die. That's a letter that somebody wrote saying that. Matter of fact, the people were so scared that they got on a boat and they went out into the ocean and they just sat in this boat, all in the boat, thinking that they were going to die because they didn't know what was going on, right? And so eventually, National Geographic sent in a man by the name of Dr. Robert Griggs to go check out this volcano. This was 2 years after the eruption. The eruption took place out in the middle of nowhere where nobody actually saw it going on. So he went out to explore. Here's some actual pictures from their expedition. And if we have audio, I'll try this. If not, we're going to skip over. Okay, so they faced all kinds of amazing things, right? There was quicksand that could suck them down. There was pumice storms where they would get hit with all kinds of pumice, and it would actually rip their clothes and rip their backpacks and rip their skin. They had to go across rivers where they didn't know how deep they were, and the pumice could form a shelf, and then they could fall through it and get swept down the river. One of their guys actually got carried away by the wind. Here's some actual video of what that looked like. I'm going to skip over some stuff here. Okay, here we go. I've got to come down here so I can see the pictures too. Kind of getting an idea of that. There's a bunch of the smokers. Matter of fact, this is called the Valley of 10,000 Smokes. Have you guys heard of that before? Okay, the Valley of 10,000 Smokes. There they are. All right. Oh, wait, let me back up. That's kind of cool. This guy. How cool that they actually... So there's one of those smokers that was left over. Okay, check this out. They're actually measuring the temperature of one of these smokers. All right. Okay, here's actually Nova Rupta. This is the volcano that we're talking about. Check it out how it's still steaming. That's kind of cool. Now, that doesn't look like a normal volcano, right? We're going to find out why in just a little bit. I'm sorry, I didn't think of this before. No. By the way, when I was doing the sounds for the volcano, I heard somebody say I did a lousy volcano job. I thought it was pretty good. I mean, come on, listen to the authenticity. Thank you. All right, so here they are at their base camp, the National Geographic people, and the winds were so strong, which I guess you guys probably get strong winds up here, right? The winds were so strong that it literally picked them up, and it actually carried him down the canyon, up in the air, and then dropped him again at the bottom of the canyon into some soft pumice. So here's kind of what their base camp looked like after that that whole wind thing happened. By the way, when you're out exploring volcanoes, how do you cook your food? You just put it over a fumarole. There's one of the volcanic vents right there. They're actually cooking their food up. Okay, by the way, one of the things that happened when this volcano went off is a bunch of mountains collapsed and it dammed up a river and it formed a big old canyon. So basically what happened is the mountain slid off and it dammed up this river and a huge old lake backed up behind the natural dam. And then eventually the natural dam broke and all of a sudden a bunch of water just went cruising through the canyon and it cut this huge canyon. Well, that kind of makes us think about places like Grand Canyon, right? What do they say about Grand Canyon is, well, it takes millions of years of that river going through the canyon carrying all the material away. While some creation geologists have said for the Grand Canyon, it might have been the same thing as the flood happened And then after the flood was done, the waters were starting to recede and a natural dam formed and it backed up a whole bunch of water. And then it allowed the rock to become hard. And then eventually that natural dam broke and that water came through and carved the canyon very quickly. And that's exactly what happened at Nova Rupta. So it doesn't take millions of years to form a canyon. It can happen very quickly. All right, here we go. Evidence for a young earth. Just write canyons. Can't even see what I wrote. Canyons can form quickly. All right, so that was the very fast version of the expedition by National Geographic. Let's go 100 years into the future. Oh, I forgot to say, Dr. Robert Griggs actually wrote a book called The Valley of 10,000 Smokes, where he told all about his expeditions. Here we go, fast forward. This is a guy by the name of Dr. David Shorman. Dr. David Shorman is a creation scientist, and clear back in 2011, so just in 2011, he came across Dr. Robert Griggs' book, and he said, I'm going to lead an expedition back to Nova Rupta. Here's the team of men he took. And remember that they were headed off to the same place that Dr. Robert Griggs was to look at the volcano. Here's a bunch of bears. Have you ever seen this picture where the bears are like catching the fish in their mouth? Okay, so this is where this happened at, all right? Is Katmai National Park. Okay, I'm going to zoom through some of this. Here they are camping. Okay, here they are crossing the river. By the way, when you cross the river, it's really dangerous, and you see he's got a stick. And the reason he's got a stick is because there could be a place where the river is really deep, and if he didn't find out if there's ground below him or not, he could get swept down river. So they really had to face a ton of dangerous things while they were doing it. Okay, there's the stream power law, and basically evolutionists use this. Yes. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, he's saying that they would use the stick to have balance and stuff. You're totally right. But the main reason when I've asked them, because I've talked with them, is to make sure that they weren't going to fall into a deep spot. All right, the stream power law, they use the stream power law to look at a river like the one at Grand Canyon, and they say, how fast is it moving and how much material is it moving through the canyon? How long would it take to carve the canyon? But what they forget is that natural disasters like what happened at Nova Rupta could actually produce a lot faster currents and actually erode a river much faster. Oh, by the way, the two guys that went were Dr. Shorman and his son Kenny. I forgot to tell you, they have actual superpowers. They're some of the pumice. All right, let's see if this video plays. I've noticed these videos aren't playing. Nope, not playing. So there's Kenny in a storm. A pumice storm. By the way, they were hiking to get to these cabins so that they could go out and explore the volcano. And so their second night, they went to some cabins. They were very luxurious. There they are. Isn't that beautiful? Can you imagine the food service there? Here's what it looks like on the inside. All right. I'm going to keep going here. So here they are at actually Nova Rupta, and my videos aren't working. Boy, it's been a day of everything going wrong. Okay, anyway, here's the ridge of Nova Rupta. Boy, I hope this one video plays because it's really awesome. Hold on. Not playing. All right, here's what Nova Rupta looked like. And okay, so here's the story I want to tell you. This is actually Nova Rupta. And basically what they did was they took a sample from the lava dome there. They took a piece of rock and they sent it to an evolutionary lab to have it dated. How old is the rock? Hint, the eruption went off 100 years before. That makes the rock 100 years old. Exactly right. They sent it to an evolutionary lab and said, date the rock. And they said, where did you find the rock? Why were they asking that question? So they could lie about it. Yeah, I guess so. It's because they wanted to know how old it was supposed to be, right? And they said, no, just date the rock. And then they said, well, how old do you expect it to be? No, just date the rock. The rock's 100 years old. They dated the rock, and the rock turned out to be 5.5 million years old. All right. At Mount St. Helens, when I worked there, there was a piece of rock that a friend of mine took out of the lava dome there that was 7 years old, and that came out to 360,000 years old. By the way, when you look at all the different rocks that we know how old they are, and you have them dated, they always come out to be millions of years older. Matter of fact, there's not really a time when they've had a rock that we actually know the actual date, and it's dated to the right thing. So I just wanted to point that out. Yes. Well, okay, so here's the reason why I think, by the way, that was a great question, is, yeah, they've got a uniformitarian perspective, right? So they think that it's going to be old, right? So, but here's what I think is going on. I wasn't going to get into all this, but I think, why not? So here's the way they actually date a rock. Do you know how to date a rock? You take it to dinner first. No, just kidding. No. No, so here's the way you date a rock. Yeah, you're not going to get that image out of your mind, are you? It was a great dinner, but it didn't talk much. Anyway, so here's the way you date a rock, is that there is something called, well, it's radioactive material that's called parent material, and then it slowly decays into what's called daughter product. So parent product decays into daughter product, and it supposedly happens at a steady rate. So when you find a rock, if you compare the amount of parent and daughter material, you can figure out how old it is, supposedly. Here's what I think is going wrong. I think what's going on is as soon as a rock forms, so a lava comes out, it solidifies, I think that there's already daughter product in the rock. So I think that their ratio is not working out, and I think that that is why they're getting wrong dates with all of that. All right, with all that said, are we getting close? Man, time is really going away. Okay, so evidence for a young Earth. Canyons form quickly. Radioisotope dating doesn't work. All right, let's see. How do I fly through all this? All right, so here they are back in their cabin. All right, I was going to tell this story with all the grandeur that I could, but I just have to cut to the chase, all right? I'm so sorry that you guys aren't getting like the full awesome story, but in this story, there is also romance because Kenny was dating a girl by the name of Ashley, and he decided that Ashley was the one. And so they had an emergency satellite phone with them, and that emergency satellite phone was only to be used in case of an emergency. And so Kenny would sneak off away from the rest of the team, and he would call Ashley, and they would talk all about how the expedition was going, and then one day they ran out of minutes on the sat phone. And Kenny realized that if they were in an emergency, that he wouldn't be able to call anybody because he had wasted all the time on, well, it didn't waste it, but there's Ashley right there. All right, so the whole team went back to Nova Rupta. This is not making much sense because I'm doing this very quickly.
In Psalm 104, verse 32.
All right. I'm going to show you how this eruption happened. And the reason that I have this is because Creation Quest is our little family ministry. We put together a video documentary on all this. And what was so cool is that nobody has ever done a 3D modeling of what this volcano looked like. And so we actually worked with Dr. David Shorman, and we worked with a guy who did animation. And we were the first ones to actually put together how this volcano happened. So I'm going to let this roll so you can see how the eruption took place.
In Psalm 104, verse 32, it says, "He looketh on the earth, and it trembleth. He toucheth the hills, and they smoke." God is so powerful that a simple touch of his finger and an eruption like this can completely eradicate the landscape and create a completely new. Mount Katmai is located 6 miles east of Nova Rupta. Somewhere near Nova Rupta was a shallow magma chamber filled with molten rhyolite and dacite. A second magma chamber of dacite and andesite was centered beneath Mount Katmai. The two magma chambers were connected by a series of underground channels. At 1 o'clock in the afternoon, June 6, 1912, possibly earlier, rhyolite began spewing and oozing from Novarupa's light. As the shallow chamber near Novarupa drained, now Katmai's chamber started to flow into the void and out Novarupa. As the pressure was relieved from underneath Mount Katmai, the top of that mountain collapsed down in silence. There was a cubic mile of material that fell 1,000 feet into the void.
Robert Grace, he thought that Mount Katmai exploded, and that's what caused the eruption, and that's how all the material filled up the valley of 10,000 Smokes, the ash that went for thousands of miles above that all happened. But actually, what they found out later was that Novarupa, about 6 kilometers to the west of Mount Katmai, that's all the magma came out of it. That's what exploded, basically. It's called the Pluvian eruption. It basically exploded. The ground that ripped open, and a mountain right next to the falling mountain, a whole third of that fell into the hole made by a Novarupa. Most of the material actually came out in the first 16 hours, about 70% of it. So the majority of the material came out, and it's right at the beginning of it.
Novarupa exploded at the fury of power. The eruption took place in 60 hours, which has been divided into 5 different episodes. Episode 1 lasted for 16 hours, and accounted for 70% of the material that we mentioned.
As soon as Mount Katmai started to break apart, it started to erupt products too. So you've got a big glacier on top of Mount Katmai that falls with its hot magma. It's going to flash the steam instantly, blast out of it. And that's what happens. So no floaters in the top of this breccia, all hopefully flavored breccia, this rocks and mud mixed together, agglomeration just blasting out on top of that. It wasn't anywhere near as big as the Nova Rupa, but Mount Katmai did erupt as well. So we were basically two eruptions. The majority of the country erupted.
During that time, it deposited 9 distinct deposits, filling the valley of 10,000 Smokes. It caused flows moving at speeds of 450 miles per hour. It began with rhyolite material, then dacite, followed by andesite. Sometimes the different magma types would mix, like batter, marble. At the vent, the molten mixture would shoot high and cool midair, falling to the ground as banded pumps. It was about 6 hours into this episode when Mount Katmai began to collapse, releasing mud fumes of ash from the hydrothermal bottoms. During the first 11 hours of eruption, there was 567 tons of material ejected from Novarupa's vent every second.
Novarupa at its height was releasing the equivalent of 5 minutes flat aircraft carriers a second. That was the rate of material coming out. These things are over 100 meters long. And doing that continuously for 10, 11 hours, that would just be incredible. It's hard for us to get our minds around something like that.
At the end of episode 1, there was a short pause for a few hours. Episode 2 was a Plinian eruption, shooting gas and dacite material high up into the air. Although there were earthquakes throughout the entire eruption, which is probably what caused Noisy Mountain to collapse, the largest took place during episode 2, hitting 7.0 on the Richter scale. It blew out almost 3 cubic miles of material. For comparison, here's what 3 cubic miles of magma looks like compared to a skyline of Manhattan. This event also caused pyroclastic density effects. Waves of fast-moving gas carrying rock shot downward in incredible speeds, depositing layer after layer of material. After a short break, episode 3 shot another 1/6 of a cubic mile of material straight up in the air, to fall back creating even more of it. It also shot out waves of gas in material. This episode ended as material built up around the wave of his fence and formed a dome. Volcano. Episode 4 blew out the plug, depositing the material around the vent. And finally, episode 5 was another dome building, which replaced the previous one. During the eruption, entire forests begins to erupt, and this material barreled down. When it reached the bottom, the material came to rest, forming a deposit over 700 million solids.
Canyon and say that one layer formed every year, and maybe that represents millions of years. Few hours, millions of years. What do you think? I think it can happen very quickly, right? And that's what Mount St. Helens and also Nova Rupta did, is it showed that layers could be laid down very quickly and canyons could form very rapidly. Go ahead and just write those things down. All right, I'm going to keep moving. All right, blah, 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 other story, other story, other story, blah, blah. Oh, okay, one interesting thing is that they found a layer underneath the volcanic eruption that was this huge layer thousands of feet thick. It was full of marine animals and a bunch of other ocean currents. And guess what do you think that is? What event in the Bible talks about lots of water? Yeah. So there it looks like we have huge flood layers. And on top of that, we've got Nova Rupta deposits. But what's even cooler is, here, let me, I'm just fast forwarding through all this stuff. Boy, it's sad. Today I'm telling you all the things that you almost found out. Okay, so remember how Kenny was calling Ashley on the phone? When they were all done with their expedition, they went back home again to Texas. And guess what happened next is Kenny married Ashley. Yay! So then they decided to go back to Nova Rupta. And guess who's on the expedition this time? Ashley. Now, Ashley had never been camping a day in her life. And so her first camping trip is out to this wilderness where they went to another side of Nova Rupta where no human being has ever been. And that was her first camping trip. That's kind of, yeah. It's cool little, there they are. Here they are flying in. Wait, there they are. Whoops. Flying in. All right, I'm going to skip through all this. One of the things that they discovered when they went back with Ashley is they found, here's the Neck Neck Formation, which is, they think, the flood deposits. And then just above that is glacial till. What's glacial till come from? What makes glaciers? Ice. Ice age. And then above that, Nova Rupta. Guess what they found is the biblical pattern of history. Think about it. We've got below basement rocks, okay, which they think were probably created possibly during creation week. On top of that, flood deposits. On top of that, an ice age. And on top of that, they've got the eruption from Nova Rupta. Guess what? That's like the biblical pattern found in the rocks right there. Isn't that pretty cool that they discovered that? All right, so we're cruising. Okay, there they are. All right, they had an amazing time, which... There's a whole story about how they had to get back out of the wilderness. They almost missed the plane, and they almost got stranded out there. Fortunately, they fought their way through a whole bunch of forests, clawing their way through all these trees, and they made it back, of course, just as the plane was arriving. There's a picture of them. Oh, look at that picture. That's so cute. All right, so I'm going to try and land this plane. Here's the deal. Is radioisotope dating doesn't work. When I talk to people who believe that the Earth is old, usually I'll say to them, like I'll take like a whiteboard and I'll say, give me all the reasons why the Earth is old. Rocks, layers, meteorites from space. And then somebody talked about distant starlight. Where are you, Sebastian, right there? You asked me about distant starlight. They bring up all those things. By the way, Sebastian asked me about that. Do you realize
People who believe in the old universe also have a same distant starlight problem because I think the visible universe is now 156 billion light years across, right? There's not enough time for the energy to get all the way across the universe, so they have the same problem that we do. So we'll toss that one out for a minute because nobody has a solution to that. But when you take away radioisotope dating, that's how you date rocks, that's how you date layers, that's how you date fossils, that's how you date meteorites. Once you take that away, it's all over for somebody who believes that the Earth is old. But when we see that canyons can form very quickly, when we see that canyons can be carved very quickly, when we can see that fossils are made very quickly from a worldwide flood, really it takes away all the evidence that somebody could possibly say to say that the Earth is old, and that brings us back to this quote again. This data could have shown that the Earth is young. If that had happened, Darwin's ideas would have been refuted. You know what I say? Darwin's stuff is refuted. The Earth is young, and therefore evolution couldn't take place. And guess what? We can trust God's word when we go back to the chronologies and we add those up and see that it only comes out to thousands of years. Guess what? The science matches that perfectly. So that's kind of my whole little take on that. Okay. Okay. I want to hit this just real quick. You guys, I'm sure you guys have heard this because in homeschool, we learn all the cool things about creation science. But just think, if God made a very good creation, but there was millions of years of death beforehand, that means God's very good earth was built before millions of years of death. It really doesn't make sense, right? Matter of fact, I'm a young earth creationist, right? And people come up to me all the time and go, why is the age of the earth so important? Well, the age of the earth isn't that important except for this. Is if there was millions of years of death, pain, and suffering, and then Jesus came to restore things back to the way it was, is he restoring it back to millions of years of death, pain, and suffering? And think, you're actually taking away the whole reason Jesus died, because what the Bible says is that death, pain, and suffering is the result of man's sin. But if that's not true, and there was millions of years of death, pain, and suffering, that's just how God created the world, we kind of take away the whole reason Jesus came through all this. Here's what Romans 5:12 says. Wherefore, as one man sinned, entered the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Death is the result of man's sin, but if death existed for millions of years before man even showed up, then where did it come from? So that's the reason why all of this is important. We're going to... Last question in your journals. Why is the age of the earth important to a Christian? All right. Well, I didn't get to tell the story in such a way that you fell in love with the characters, but the ones who took the expeditions, it's really an awesome story of fighting all kinds of crazy stuff. Someday, if you ever want to know, we've got a documentary that you can watch called Journey to Nova Rupta. For those of you who like audio drama, our family used to do Jonathan Park, but we also produced a series of episodes on this called Journey to Nova Rupta that you can listen to that. If you want to hear that or see the documentary, come see me afterwards and I'll give you my email address or something, and then you can email me. Matter of fact, I'll just give you my email address right now. You guys can email me anytime. I give you permission. Email me. You can ask me any questions about any of this. If you would like to see Journey to Nova Rupta or hear the Journey to Nova Rupta story so you can actually hear this story, here's my email address. It's proy@creationquest.net. I see your hand. I'll get you in. Well, go ahead. Go for it. Yes, that's true. That's very true. That is a true thing. So what did they learn on the journey? Here's what they have to say.
I think if others would have had the same experiences we did in Nova Rupta, I think that it really would, it would shrink then
their relationship with God as far as being able to be out in creation and see his power and see that the evidence of what he says really is true, and that just there's something about being out there that I think, you know, you put a lot of trust in him, and you know, just it really draws you closer to him.
After hiking through Nova Recta, things that I've learned that'll help me in the future is have patience and to just trust yourself and trust God and know that he's in control, and that, you know, you don't need to worry about the little things, that it, you know, if you trust that it will all work out and we'll all be okay.
I think it's important for Christians to know about Nova Recta because it's a great example of the power of God. And, you know, we read in Matthew 22:29, Jesus told the Sadducees, he told them they were in error because they did not know scripture very well and they did not know the power of God. And so, you know, we need to study scripture, but we also need to study his creation and get to know him better that way. And so it's just an incredible testimony. The biggest eruption in over 100 years now. And there's just so much power that goes with an event like that. And that can only be possible by a more powerful being in charge of all of that.
There you go. Okay, up next is my friend Joshua Wren, who we did the Genesis experience with. Joshua is going to take the next talk, and I've been listening to the things that he's come up with. I think you guys are going to find it super interesting. Can you guys be polite to Joshua while he's up here? Can you encourage him on? Okay, you guys are like the most encouraging ever, and so if you guys could just love on Joshua and encourage him as he comes up and speaks, and I guess that's happening in half an hour, right? Okay, we'll see you guys back here in half an hour. Okay, you're welcome. Thank you.
Once again, the Manitoba Association of Christian Homeschools would like to thank the Learning House for sponsoring this recording. Please visit them at learninghouse.ca.